I'm Dr. Ben Rall. Do you know where the most amazing doctor lives? You may be surprised to learn that it's actually right inside of you. Yet, today's healthcare model is built on a foundation that the greatest doctor instead comes in the form of pills, potions, lotions, even surgery. So listen in, because what if the majority of what you have been told about health and healing is not only wrong, but actually harmful to you? One thing is for sure. When you work with your body and not against it, you'll begin to discover that you are in fact designed to heal.
Welcome everybody to another episode of the Designed to Heal podcast. I am your average Jeff. With me, Dr. Ben Rall. Benjamin.
Yo.
How are we doing today, buddy?
I am good, I think.
You know, Ben, I feel like I should share the ulterior motive of why I do this podcast for the audience.
Okay, well, for me too.
Yeah, for you too. You're like, man, I thought it was just for love of hanging out, sort of thing.
Not forget, you don't, because I pay you.
Well, that's part of it, but I mean, it's really because it's
like
it's,
all my friends, I pay them to hang out with me. My staff,
but
they're
the
only
real
hanging
reason
put up with
is,
me.
You know, it's just nice to have you know a doctor that I can get on a, show with and just ask questions and not be billed for it afterwards, right?
That's
what it comes down to, man. And so today I'm just going to ask you some questions and we're going to hopefully you'll not charge you. Of course, now I've told you that I'm going to get a bill in the mail or something crazy.
Yeah, we'll just call it even.
Thanks
call
a lot, buddy. Even. We appreciate it.
Hey, actually, man, today you owe me if we're doing a whole hour of precious time.
Hey, today we're going to talk about arthritis.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And this is, you know, had a family member recently that, you know, had some back issues dealing with some things and went to a, you know, went into the medical model first. All right. Thankfully was willing, of course, arm twist and some things like that finally got him to you. But, you know, the medical response was, well, you got arthritis and kind of just dismissed it as it's just age, that sort of thing. And so, you know, man, other than the idea of itis being inflammation, you know, I'll confess there's not a whole lot I even know about the subject. Okay. And it was just interesting to see your reaction and you're just, you know, outright dismissal and going, no, that's come on. This is nonsense. Let's talk about a different perspective. And as you often do, you know, with me, you help me think about things in ways that I never thought about it before, helped her do the same thing as well. You know, it sounds like to me a conversation that probably many in this audience are going to be benefited by. So, man, can we dive into it?
Yeah, I'd like to. So, you know, sometimes, Jeff, you know, you try to think about just, you know, I feel like as I get older, I say that a lot now, right? As I get older, you know, I you know, one of my desires as a quote doctor is, and really the definition I've always resonated with a doctor is doctor means teacher, right?
Yeah.
So it's funny, a lot of times, and you've been to the office a lot, most all the time I call my patients doctor, and there was a little girl in the other day with her mom, and she's like, Mom, why did he call you doctor? You're not a doctor, right? And
you know, you had me going for that in a while. You were calling me doctor, and I'd call up restaurants to get a reservation. It's me, Dr. and Mrs. McLaughlin.
Does it help?
No.
Well, then I just remember that I'm not a real doctor. I'm just a chiropractor, so that usually clarifies. No, but I the reason I always resonate with that, and I think why I've always been fascinated with chiropractic and fascinated just with health is and again, maybe it is just me as the light bulbs went off in my head, Jeff. On all of these different things that I either never had thought about, kind of like you said, or I just didn't even think about that perspective. It so fascinated me. And then I had this thought, maybe it's just my way of covering up my own stupidity, but I was like, I can't be the only one that doesn't know this, right? Like it was amazing to me. So I figured it was probably amazing to my friends or my family or whatever. And then to my patients as I got into practice. So I feel like I've always held that where I really think it's valuable. If you know some of this stuff, basic stuff, because it just is like, you know what, that kind of makes sense, right? Yeah. So the things that have always stuck with me over the years, simple things, right? But like, and I've probably said it in the show 10 times, right? Like there's not a headache that is a deficiency in aspirin. But I remember the first time I heard that, I thought, it's true. Now I know it has effects on the headache, right? But you know, and there's not a cholesterol problem that's due to a deficiency in Lipitor. There's not a depression problem that's a deficiency in Prozac. There's not a, you know, fill in the blank. Okay. And so those were always, those always stuck with me. Now arthritis, you're right. I think there's a lot of confusion around it, right? It's this term. So we'll walk through it. Please. I think this would be a great show, Jeff, for you to just really kind of ask me questions on it, right? Because sometimes I just forget, like, oh yeah, good point. Let's talk about it. So I'll just start real kind of, not high level, but real kind of basic. So arthro is a joint. That's what that word means. Okay. So you've got joints all over your body, right? You've got joints you don't even think about that are joints, right? You have my hip joint, my knee joint. But you have, for example, in your spine, not just the spine itself, but the spine is made up of all these joints all around mm-hmm. each little part of the spine, synovial joints. So I say that to say there's joints, there's lots of joints.
Okay, so let's break that down even further. Yeah. Okay, when I think of joint, I go one place that's really bad, and then I go to another place that involves a hardware store. Okay, some of the audience are like, what's he talking about? No, I think of the hardware store, and I think of like, you know, a joint for plumbing or something like that. Mm. So is a joint just a connecting point where bones, ligaments, whatever meet? Like, how would you even break that down? I mean, I want to make this like as user-friendly as possible.
So that's a good question. There's all sorts of different joints in your body.
Okay.
So for example, your hips are kind of your typical ball and socket joint, right? Okay. When you think about that, and that's why that joint's pretty amenable to like a hip replacement. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. still a wildly complicated joint. It's a mm-hmm. weight-bearing joint, you know, if you think about how it is. And then I don't want to get in the weeds here, but like then you have a joint like your elbow, more of a hinge joint, right? Your knee, It's not a ball and a socket. It's
right.
It's a whole different mechanism, right?
Then shoulders, you got, ball and socket,
yeah,
I guess.
Well, right? Yeah. That's kind a little bit of a combination, right? Okay. It's not quite like the hip joint, but it, in an essence, yes, right. Jeff, it's going to operate more like that. Right. Now, the thing that's crazy about a shoulder joint is you've got this free-floating bone, your scapula, your shoulder blade, which is really the only bone like that. It's free-floating. It's just attached by muscles there, and that's what your shoulder... It's wild, right? But Jeff, this is why... People, for example, that have a shoulder surgery, and we've talked about this on your show.
Of which I've had.
I know when I say to people, like when I have reservations about it, it's simply because you are playing a complicated game mm-hmm. when you jump in there and just be like, doop, doop, I want to just, you know, the biomechanics of that, we still don't really understand. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can mess with it and we can do some things, but gosh. So then you get into fingers, you get into, for example, your wrist, Jeff, your wrist has a bunch of little bones in it, right? And we might talk about carpal tunnel later, right?
Yeah.
You've got in your spine, you've got, you know, 24 vertebrae that all have a joint within them. But on the back of them, they have these little things called facet joints, which join up with the vertebrae above and below. And again, it gets wild. Mm. Okay. So I say all that to say, and most of them are what you call a synovial joint, Jeff, which even within that, and again, forgive me, listeners, if it's in the weeds here, we'll get into some more functional or just, you know, stuff here. But each one of those joints is wrapped in a like ligaments and tissue, right? And the joint is sealed and it's got synovial fluid, joint fluid inside of it.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Synovial joints. You've heard that term. So a lot of times, matter of fact, this might be fun for listeners. The cracking that you hear in adjustment, not all adjustments require that or even, but there's a lot of different techniques in chiropractic, but the traditional, you know, crack your back. Mm-hmm. What you're hearing is... Think about like a can of soda or a carbonated beverage when you crack it open, when you open it, and then you hear that sound.
Yep.
That's gas escaping from fluid. Okay,
really?
That's what that is, the bubbles.
Okay.
It's under pressure.
Yeah.
You open it, it allows that popping sound is the sound of gas coming out of fluid.
Okay.
Okay? Now, in a sealed synovial joint, when I pull that joint apart or gap that joint or adjust that joint, it pulls NO2, nitrous dioxide, out of joint, okay, which is what's in there. And then about 15, 20 minutes, that resorbs back into the joint. So what you're hearing, the popping, is not me pushing a bone back into place. Mm-hmm. Although there's extreme circumstances if, you know, in legitimate dislocations or whatever you want to say where that's a possibility, right? A shoulder's out of joint, those kinds of things. I'm talking about your typical chiropractic adjustment. You're getting that joint gapped. It releases CO2. That's why you get increased range of motion. That's why you feel relief. But then after about 15, 20 minutes, that fluid resorbs back into that joint.
Okay.
It's normal. It's how it does it. And then actually, it's the same reason you can kind of crack your knuckle. Okay.
And then a few minutes later.
Yeah, about 10, 12 minutes later, depending on it, you can crack it again.
Okay.
Right? It's not...
Is that synovial gas,
fluid
or whatever it is? But the gas or whatever, the
NO2,
is that bad? I mean,
it's just the way it is. I don't know why God designed it that way, but that's just what it is, right?
Okay.
So I say all that to say, so when you think of the term arthritis, most people's kind of vision of that when we say that is a joint that's like, you know, then you start getting these calcium deposits bone spurs.
Scar tissue, things like that.
Scar tissue... I would say no on a real technical, okay? You're generally, when you're talking arthritis, is you're talking the bones,
okay?
Now, take a knee as an example. A knee is degenerating. The cartilage in there is breaking down. But then the arthritis component that we talk about is how the bones themselves are remodeling or the bones themselves are breaking down or spurs are growing on it, okay? I mean, I've seen them. A lot of arthritis joints in my life just because of the technique that we practice and with digital x-rays and things like that. And I want to talk about some fascinating things about this. Jeff, that's the arthritis that we typically think about is what's called osteoarthritis, okay? if you were going to kind of break them down into two camps, I would say an osteo, which is your bones. It's where more bone is being laid down.
Okay.
Okay. Then the other big area of it would be more of your erosive arthritis,
right.
Your rheumatoids, your psoriatics, okay, those types of arthritis. In those instances, Jeff, it's eating the bone. Whole different picture. So take a hand of a, take a picture, an x-ray of a hand of osteoarthritis.
Yeah.
You're going to see bone spurs. You're going to see, right? Now,
yep.
Think of the classic, if anybody in your family or somebody knows had something like rheumatoid arthritis, that's the deformative arthritis. That's when you see the hands all cobbled up, turning. My grandma had that. If you were to x-ray that hand, what you see is bone being eaten away.
But how? What's the mechanism?
It's a great question. Yeah. And it's actually a really important question, Jeff. So erosive arthritises, like the one we just talked about, where it's eating away the bone, those generally fall in the category of autoimmune disease. It's the body, actually. The first one I talked about, osteoarthritis, is a very mechanical process.
Okay.
It's the body is that joint is experiencing mechanical stress. Okay. And so it's laying down bone. Mm. For example, if I had a patient that maybe has had a really short leg for a long time in their life, and they put a lot of pressure, maybe let's just say on their left hip. If I was to radiograph that, x-ray that, I would see the bone density of that left hip be much brighter, much whiter, because it's had to respond to the mechanical pressures. Mm-hmm. The body's not stupid. Give you a quick example. Heel spurs or sometimes plantar fasciitis, some of those things. So a person will have a heel spur, which is actually just a calcification of the tendon where the plantar fascia attaches. So a lot of times what we see as arthritises or bone spurs or calcium deposits or all those things, it's actually calcification of tendons and ligaments because there's been pressure there for so long, okay? Mm. So here's just a fascinating start. So you brought this up earlier, I think, on that conversation. You said, a family member or somebody, we all have them, right? And they, total, it just goes with age. So let's maybe go after that myth first, okay? So when I take x-rays of somebody, as an example, now, mind you, I would say most of the time, Jeff, the arthritis that I discover through exams and radiographs and things like that, most of the time, the person I'm showing it to is surprised, meaning they had no idea it was there.
They're not feeling pain
not
or
feeling
whatever.
It. Yeah. Correct. Okay. Right. Not all the time, but I would say a wild majority.
Okay.
Now, just somebody go, but come on, wouldn't you feel that? I would just like propose a few things. Hmm. Have you ever had a cavity you didn't feel?
Of course.
Yeah. Right. You're not like blown away when the dentist comes in and says you have a cavity. Matter of fact, you have three cavities. You don't go, what? You lying, money grubbing jerk, right?
Yeah.
You just go, now let's also go a little bit further. Do you think that, and then so all the teeth were in there, experiencing the same thing you've been eating.
Mm-hmm. Why just those?
Why just those?
Yeah, that's a good question.
He just wants your money.
Mm.
You're just making it up, right? No. Now they often would say too, right? Then usually the suggestion is, hey, let's get involved. The dentists I've gone to over the years, they don't usually say, hey, don't worry, let it keep going. We'll just, wait till we have to pull it out or do a root canal or a crown, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So my point, or does anybody have any, you could go through so many things. Can you have high blood pressure and not feel it?
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Most. Sure. Can you have high blood sugar and not feel it?
Mm-hmm.
Can you have a brain tumor and not feel it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can have most of the major diseases that you would name have no symptoms mid to late stages.
Yeah, that's the thing that's interesting. You know, even just thinking about cancer, like so many people experience that. It's such a shock for them because they walk in going, I'm fine, right? And then boom, it's found. But yes, that's a great point.
So I challenge us because we've relegated our spine oftentimes to it must be fine unless it hurts. Mm. And I would just say to a person that's maybe thinking about that, oh, listen, I'm glad you feel great. Like I'm not, there's enough pain in the world. I'm not encouraging you to have any.
Sure.
I simply mean, you're smarter than that.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't say that about a lot of things. You don't say that about whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I remember when being a kid, my dad was trying to teach me proper, car maintenance. Right. You know, and I remember I still probably am like this. I'm like, why 3,000 miles? Back in the day, it was 3,000 miles. I think now it's more like 5,000 miles.
Sure.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess I've always been a questioner, but I was like, how 3,000 miles? Like, come on, like 299, we're fine. 3,000, my car's going to blow up, but we just buy into it.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's like, well, it's what they said to do. No, I'm not arguing that. I just mean, maybe I am, but I'm just mean like we do this in many areas of life, mm-hmm. but a lot of people still, for whatever reason, have this block, mental block, that my spine must be fine unless mm-hmm. I either have scoliosis mm-hmm. or I'm in chronic pain. And good I would word. Just say, yeah. you know, come on, let's be smarter than that, people. So mm-hmm. when we start thinking about arthritises, when the people will say, well, it's because it's just what happens when you get older. Mm-hmm. Now, Jeff, if I would just take a typical picture of a spine, there may be a joint or two that has arthritis in there. Mm-hmm. But then there's 20 other joints in there, 22 other joints, depending on whatever, mm-hmm. that have no arthritis. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The one right above it is fine. The one right below it is fine. But that one in the middle, that one just got old. Right. So now, yes, the body is a constantly turning itself over and yeah. healing and restoring. So yeah. there are some complications to this, but just in a real kind of a basic discussion here, I would often ask a person, they say, well, isn't that just because I'm getting older? Mm-hmm. Right. And I would mm-hmm. just say, well, how old is that joint above it? Mm-hmm. Right. What's the same age? Or a person will come in there, their left knee is mm-hmm. shot or their left hip is shot. And they say, but my right is fine. I say, well, that's interesting. How old is that one? Mm-hmm. Okay. So mm-hmm. that would be the first thing I would want the myth to destroy. Now, sure, Jeff, if I've had a joint that I've messed up and I keep messing it up and I haven't done anything and I've been covering up with pain pills and I take pills every day so I don't feel it right. Yeah. Logically, you're going to continue to degenerate that joint. And then I get shots in it and I get cortisone shots in it and I put pain patches and pain pills on it. Yeah, I'm masking the symptoms that finally did show up, which is only going to create in an osteoarthritis situation more damage. Okay, that would be no different, Jeff, than if I have a cavity in my mouth that does have pain, let's just say. Okay, so I'm taking pills so I don't feel the pain of the cavity. I don't think anybody listening to this would say, no, I think you fixed it. You wouldn't say that. You'd say, no, you're just covering up the pain. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to arthritis, I really encourage people to not mm-hmm. mask. Now, again, I'm not some sadist that likes pain for people, mm-hmm. right? I simply mean that pain is trying to tell you something. Mm-hmm. Don't fall into the trap. Since I took dope to cover it up, and I don't care if it's over-the-counter dope or dope from a fancy guy in a white coat or dope mm-hmm. from the pharmacist, mm-hmm. pain pills to cover your pain is not an intelligent... I'm assuming you're listening to this and you want to call yourself smart. You would mm-hmm. say, and you would never put the check... You would never cover the check engine light in your car and think you took care of the problem. You wouldn't...
Some do, though.
But that is a ridiculous thing to do.
It's a bad idea.
It doesn't work. Yeah. You didn't hack the system. You're an idiot. I'm sorry. You're an
yeah.
idiot.
Yeah.
So don't tell me because I take dope... but I don't feel it, and then start swinging your shoulder around and tell me how great your dope is.
Yeah.
Don't tell me, I hurt, but I got a shot in my butt, and ever since I got that shot in my butt, oh my gosh, it feels great. My back hurts really bad, but I just lay patches of painkiller on it every day, but now it's fine.
Yep.
That's not fine. You don't say, and again, I'm being aggressive, but here's my point. Mm. You're claiming, you're calling yourself out to be a smart person that uses their thinking brain. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't say that about... anything else. You wouldn't say that if a cavity in your mouth, you wouldn't say that. Mm-hmm. So now the question would be then, what do I do? Which is a great question. I want to have that conversation. But so here's probably the second things that happen, Jeff, when I take those x-rays as an example. Mm-hmm. A significant majority of the time when I show the person that arthritis and we talk about it, they're having no symptoms. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times I'll meet somebody and we're talking and we find some, you know, some issue going on and they'll say, and then I know when I talk to them about it, I know all they're going to remember this conversation is arthritis, right? Because it's like, oh, I got arthritis. Yep. You know, that's it. Oh, bury me. Got arthritis, right? Then I often want to show them an x-ray of another patient, right? Mm. I don't, but I mean, like in my mind, I'm like, mm-hmm. man, I want to show you Bob because Bob's hip is 9 times worse than yours. Mm. And he's doing fantastic. It's not the fancy term we use in medical is pathognomonic, where it's pathology, right? Where it's okay. Cuz you have this, okay? Mm. So that there's certain things that there is pathognomonic. Mm-hmm. Arthritis is not that. You cannot look at an x-ray mm-hmm. of arthritis and say that person is having pain. You can't do it.
So that's what pathognomonic means, basically.
Yeah.
The image should predict.
Well, that the pathology is a direct correlation to said symptom. Okay.
Ben, question for you.
Jeff, let me say that. Oh, sorry. As an extreme example.
Yeah.
Not extreme, but.
Uh huh.
broken bone. Okay.
Yeah.
If you broke your arm and we took a picture and we see your fractured, radius bone, like that's a pathognomonic. Like, I think we found the problem. You follow me?
Right. Right.
Okay. So now, but if I say you have back pain and I take a picture and I see arthritis in there, and think about this, Jeff, how many times have you heard the story? I had a back issue. I went in, I had surgery, but I'm no better.
Right. Right.
I had a shoulder pain, right? They even identified, quote, what they thought was the problem. Follow? You have this, you have this, you have this. We're going to go in and we're going to fix X, Y, Z. Right. We fixed it. You get done. You say, I feel the same.
So my question that I think is important to ask is, do you think that that whole idea of pathognomonic, they've tried to bring that into the world of arthritis too, because that's just the medical model. Always look for, you know, the easy answer or like.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't think it's nephrous or, I don't think it's
Conspiracy. Right, no,
I think
of course.
It makes some logic because there's certainly times, don't get me wrong, there's certainly times where Bob's got a bad knee and you take an x-ray and it's loaded with arthritis and it's because he has a super arthritic knee. You follow me?
Yeah, but I see with you, Ben, the way that you care for your patients being, and just the conversations that we have being so much more focused on wellness, vitality, vitalism, as you talk about, has a lot more of like a, I'm going to use the word like an emotional component to it. I don't think that's the right word at all, but maybe an intuitive component. Like you're teaching people to understand their body, to work with their body rather than, it's just a different.
Well, I would just say
it's a different conversation. I feel like
here's how I would say it, Jeff. Okay. I would just say, I don't want to say it's about me. I just mean like, it's just like, let's just have the whole conversation. Let's just put it, it's not as simple as it's often portrayed,
right?
You've got an arthritic knee. Right. I'm going to put in a new knee and you're going to be better.
Right.
I mean, if I told you all the stories of people that have our, knee surgeries, they're not running marathons. Yeah. Hey, are there some people that it's been dramatically a great experience for? Sure.
Right.
But I'll tell you a great example, and I've talked about it on the show before. I'll talk about it very quickly. They did actually a study on that, a placebo study. There's actually a book written about this on knee surgeries. They did a sham knee surgery, and they did the actual scoping. The people that did best were the ones that got the sham surgery.
Really?
Okay. So, and a knee surgery is a $22 billion industry that does no better than placebo.
Wow.
So this isn't like pie in the sky. Like most, but here's the problem. Most people just don't know that, right? So you go in, you wait 9 months to get your appointment finally with this orthopedic surgeon, and he's gonna be, by golly, he's a smart guy. And I can't believe I got even in to see him, and it's covered by my insurance. Holy smokes, right?
Well, Ben, it's intimidating too. I mean, the average person
walks
in.
I'm not intimidated.
No, I know that, but the average person walks in and goes, wow, look at that fancy tube they're about to roll me into, and it's doing all this crazy stuff. And I think it becomes easy at that point for people to go, well, I guess I don't know what I don't know. But go back to Bob for a second. Bob's a little bad.
Well, let me finish that for just a second. Okay. Want to talk about
Bob. Go ahead.
The actual one of the words they use, Jeff, I've talked about this, but about this knee study, they actually attributed much of the benefit of the surgery, made me think about this, what they called the theater of surgery, meaning
it looks fancy,
placebo, right? Wow. You go, well, I don't know, it was a fancy tube, and I don't know, they all day took work off, and they, I went to sleep, and they, like the theater of
so,
that, right?
So if we had these surgeries in someone in like a little pop-up tent in someone's backyard, maybe the effect wouldn't be there. Is that what you're?
Absolutely. No, Jeff, actually, I mean, all joking aside, I literally read a study about this yesterday.
Yeah.
Drugs. Check this one out.
Okay.
Drugs lose their effectiveness the longer they're on the market. Makes no sense, right?
Drugs lose their effectiveness the longer they're in the Oh, so you're arguing...
I'm not arguing. This was what the actual study said.
Yeah, okay.
That because it's the breakthrough drug at the beginning that I finally got the new red one.
Yep.
By golly, hot off the market, new and improved. But when it's been on for 10 years,
Okay, just sinister skeptic here asking the question, is that why you think that like the typical brands that we see out there then introduce the, it's the extra strength and it's the
variations.
Well,
no, that's a different reason. They do that because their patent's running out, and so they need to make a minor change in it to get it reaffirmed so they can stay on brand name status and make a bunch more money because they don't have to go generic pricing.
Gotcha.
Okay. Sure. It's also the same reason. Take drugs out of for a second. Same reason why the new and improved Tide and the new improved, market. That's just marketing. But it has an effect on us, right?
It does.
When I get to do the new fancy technology, right? That's why a lot of people can't handle chiropractic because it's too simple.
Yep.
It's too simple. It's like, what? It's too simple. They just can't handle it. But
so we need to
be,
create the theater effect in your office, man. That's what we need to do. Let's get some tubes and monitors and BP things. And
I know you think you're kidding, but I will tell you that that's absolutely the truth.
No, I believe it makes perfect sense because people want the flashy show. I can see that in a lot of areas.
One of the reasons people sometimes can't handle me is my care is very affordable. right? Mm. And so they think to themselves, but it can't be that good if it's that affordable, right? I mean, it has to bankrupt you, and they have to, you know, sell your car and give blood in order to pay for it. So it can't possibly be that good, right?
Right.
And so, you know, I've not wrestled with that over the years. My heart has always been, you know, to make sure anybody can get care.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I've give away thousands of dollars and hundreds of thousands of dollars probably of care a year, mm-hmm. because I won't turn people away.
Yeah.
It's just, that's my own yeah. issue. That's my own ministry. That's how I operate. Mm-hmm. I'm not mm-hmm. saying you're good or bad if you don't do that. I just mean, that's how I do that. But I know some people, literally I've had people say, but that's, I can't understand, right? How is it that affordable, right? So anyway, back to the topic again. Well, you want to talk about Bob?
Yeah, Bob real quick, because you had made a reference that, you know, Bob's x-ray looks 9 times worse and he's doing fine. Of course, that begs the question, well, why is that? So can we go down that line and what is the body doing that's, you know, what's happening?
So it's a great question. And I would say at some level, we don't know that definitive answer. Okay. But I would say in general, it's one of the words we talk about a lot in this show, but adaptiveness of the body, mm-hmm. right? The body mm-hmm. is responding to, we have a show that you'll probably have heard by the time this one comes out by Dr. James Chestnut. And he talks about, you know, how the body adapts, right? So mm-hmm. it's, think about the rubber band, right? You know, the fact that we're in a room right now, Jeff, that's mm-hmm. whatever, 72 degrees, but your body temperature is somewhere around 98.6. Mm-hmm. That's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's wild. And if your body became the temperature of this room, Jeff, you would be dead. Mm. Matter of fact, if it came even a few degrees off of this, you would be dead. Literally, if your temperature of your body got too high, the proteins in your body would cook like an egg and you're dead. And it does it without you thinking about it for a second. So that's always when people tell me, like, I'm taking a Tylenol to lower my fever. To me, excuse me, you're bat crazy. Okay? Because you are saying, I'm going to trump the wisdom of my body. And why do we do it, Jeff? Because we don't like how we feel.
Yeah.
Instead of bowing to the wisdom of the body that is kept your body temperature correct, so it knows what it's doing. Mm. And then you say, but what about blah, 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 mm-hmm. blah, right? And I'm just going to simply say, there's a what about on the other side of that equation. Mm-hmm. What about taking the drugs that take away my pain that caused me to have a heart attack?
Yep.
What about masking my pain and actually makes it worse? And then I end up on a surgical table and I die on the table having surgery. Mm-hmm. If you want to play the what about game, I assure you the whatabouts are on my side, mm-hmm. not yours. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Your convenience or whatever. Now listen, I get it. I don't want people to misunderstand me when I have my own issues. I have my own pain. I have my own parts of my life that I've got my wife. I got my kids. We all deal with. My wife's just getting over a frozen shoulder that she's had after she ran a marathon, right? Like, no fun, you know, but she didn't take drugs. She didn't, you know, get injections. It was a bummer, right? Yeah. I mean, she couldn't put her arm on her race. She couldn't shoot a basketball. Like, it was a bummer, right? And the irony of it is, I think it was from when she trained for the marathon and just the posture of that, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not funny. It was a bummer, right? Mm-hmm. But, mm-hmm. you know, she's getting better, thank God, and all that kind of stuff. So
she told me she was faking it just to get you to do the dishes. That's what I heard, but you know, well,
I don't even want to answer that.
Sorry, Megan, I didn't keep that secret. Like I should have.
that's bad.
But I love, just on that point, let's camp out there for a second. Ben, I mean, if you're the way that you present it right there, and I think unfortunately many of us need a constant reminder because the other message is so, you know, so much a barrage at us. But when you're talking about, even just go back to the body's temperature, right? It elevates a couple things. Like, if what you're saying is true, and I believe it is, we need to celebrate that.
Absolutely. It's not what I'm saying. It's physiology.
Yeah.
It's homeostasis. It's in the science books that everybody reads. Like, this is not Ben Rawls' opinion.
No, I get
this. This is physiology.
I mean, even just how you said it, being in a room of 72 degrees or something like that, and just knowing what, you know, because that's the thing. Like, tell me this off the top of your head. I mean, I always assumed if you hit like 104 degree temperature, like you're in trouble. Like, what's the highest that somebody can go to?
That's maybe
106, 107 or something like that?
I'll talk about that for a second. I want to talk about that. I want to remind a person. So when somebody comes into me and they're like, oh, you know, freaking out about XYZ, like it doesn't freak me out.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, now it's taken me probably years of like you said, reminding yourself constantly because you're so infiltrated with the fear, you know what I mean?
Yep.
It's like we were out to eat the other night and there was and there was a lady sitting in by herself in like this other room, you know, I don't know, like another piece of the restaurant, all by herself, totally alone, sitting there with two masks on. And I just thought, dang, I can't imagine.
She knew you were coming.
I can't imagine that. I can't imagine that level of fear.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm that afraid, I wouldn't even leave the house, I guess, except don't want to tell them that the air gets into your house too. You know what I mean? So I don't know what you're going to do.
Shocking.
But yeah. But anyway, my point in this about the, being reminded of the amazement of the body. So I'm not, I think it's really important. So the question about fever. So what's the typical? Now, are there cases, one's coming to mind of a boy that was a football player, it was years ago. He was playing football, right? The two-a-days, high heat, exhaustion, had an overheated experience, had a heart attack or a stroke. I think it was a heart attack, cardiac arrest. Now, here's the miss here, Jeff, right? So what do we hear? In a sense, and it's true, an 18-year-old boy dies because body temperature gets too hot, right? The reason his body temperature got too hot was because he's doing two-a-days outside, probably out of shape, right? Not hydrating.
Yeah, but then the stories I've even heard about that don't even spin it. His body got too hot. They said, he had a heart condition nobody knew about.
Or he had a heart condition nobody knew about. Right. My point is, in a sense, there was preceding issues, but this is what gets locked in our brain, like, oh my gosh, that's why temperature will kill you. You follow me?
Yeah.
That's why I gotta take Tylenol.
Yeah.
Or my kid's gonna die. Yeah. If that was actually the case, think how many people you would hear dying from high temperatures.
I mean, probably everybody goes to the beach. I'm just saying.
And where did they all?
Anybody that lives in Florida.
And then, by the way, then were people just dropping dead like flies before Tylenol came on the market? Was that what was going on? Don't think so. So, and I would encourage somebody to, if they're concerned about this, there's some great articles. One's in the Journal of Pediatrics, American Journal of Pediatrics, where they actually talk about fever. They talk about safe fever. Mm-hmm. Their recommendations are up to about 104. Okay. Now, but I say, the reason I even say that is because when I talk to people about fevers, when they talk to me about fevers, they're like, fever was high. I always ask them, like, what do you mean? They're like, it was like 101. Dude, it was like 101. It was 101, dude. I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. Never mind then. All bets are off. The wisdom of the universe that created you, that guy's an idiot. 101, you better drug it.
Now I just know the number to text you to set you off. Man, I'm dealing with a 101 today.
But dude,
right? My phone lights up. My phone's going to get hotter than my temperature will.
So people still don't like this. I'll say it again. Yep. I've never taken my children's temperature. They're 15 years old and they're 12 years old.
Yeah.
I've never taken their temperature
ever.
I do not own a thermometer. I'm not kidding when I say that. There's not one in my house.
Love it.
But people are like, well, what? I'm like, because, and I'm very clear on why this is. I trust the temperature that for the 43 years of my life and the 15 and 12 years of my kids' life has somehow managed to keep them alive. Mm. And I'm going to go ahead and bow to that wisdom and say, it probably knows what it's doing now.
Yeah.
Have my kids ever had a fever? I'm sure they have, right? My old, they feel a little hot, right? Or whatever. Mm. But see, the minute, and this goes back, Jeff, the minute you start going down that medical train, what's their temperature? What's their temperature? Oh my gosh, what's their, check it again. I don't know, is the thermometer working? Go get a new one. I don't know, take it between their toes, take it under their armpit, take it in their anus, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
We freak out. It's wild. We live in so much fear, okay? Now, goes a little bit more. Great study in the American Journal of Pediatrics again. Talk about febrile seizures. Febrile seizures, right? Febrile, hot, right? We're having a seizure because it gets hot. So I've got patients that this happens. It's never happened to us, but I know people that it happened to. And the research on that is because here's what everybody's afraid of, like because they're having a seizure. Mm-hmm. Here's, I'll just summarize the study. No long-term effects to febrile seizures. Doesn't cause you to have seizures for your life. Mm-hmm. Doesn't kill you. It's actually, check this out, amazing, body smart. It's actually the body's way of releasing tremendous amounts of heat in a very short period of time. What? The body's doing it because it's smart?
Really?
Yes. But see, people don't know it, so you live in fear. And here's how the story always goes. I didn't want to give them the drugs. It was 101.
Yeah.
Like, dude, I'm not going to apologize for your fear that you are living your life in. Mm. Read a book. Now I'm getting aggressive here. But I'm like, here's the thing. You haven't thought about it. You just got fear, scared, lied to, watch crap news, tap media. They lie to you. And you want to call yourself natural. So you let them lay there for 14 seconds and you freaked out because their temperature was, I don't know. And then you put some dope in them, which, by the way, what happens when we take fever-reducing drugs? Now we're on a total other topic here. What happens with fever-reducing drugs? Well, let's walk down it for a second. The fever is there for a reason, good or bad.
Good.
Yeah. It's doing what it's designed to do. It's killing off viruses and bacteria. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I've done many deep dives on fever because I've dealt with it a lot of times talking with patients and they get all freaked out. And I've done a lot of teaching on this and, you know, continued education for people and communities and stuff like that. So it's always the same questions. But if you start actually going into and look at what the body does with fevers, at like 103, there's a massive dump of interleukins, which are massively cancer killing. There's research that shows that fevers, high fevers, kill cancer off.
Really?
Some of the treatments and some of the cancers are raising body temperature to kill off cancer. So some of the research shows that when you lower with fever-reducing drugs, i.e. Tylenols, it makes you sicker longer and increases rates of hospitalization. So you think you're doing such a good thing by giving that dope to your kid, but actually what you just did was increase their chances of going to the hospital, making that worse. Because why? Logically, why? Because you're stopping the body from doing what it's designed to do. Yeah. You're letting the bacteria or the virus proliferate more. So even when I see this with people, they're like, they're sick and they're like, well, you know, I'm on Tylenol. I'm like, I think that's ridiculous.
Ben, what about, somebody putting like a cold compress or something on their head or something like that. Is that okay? Or is that?
Yeah. So, that's a good example. So you're not okay. Well, putting a cold compress on somebody's head doesn't lower their body temperature. It just makes them more comfortable. Right.
Okay.
I mean, you're not, logically, right. You know, it's not like you're good. Right. Yeah. It just feels good. Right. Okay. And when you're a million degrees, like, I mean, when I'm hot, I throw up, we all like that, right?
Florida, we hit the pools, baby.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
I mean, there's been times, if I'm not feeling well and I have a fever. Matter of fact, a lot of times what I do, if I'm starting to not feel good, I happen to have a sauna and then I have, if my chest is starting to mess up, you can feel something come along. Yep. I try to get a fever. I try to exercise, burn it off. I will play heating pads on my chest. I'll give myself a fever.
Yeah.
Or as high as I can. I'll sleep with a heating pad on my chest just to try to elevate that temperature, right? Because it's good, right?
It's so interesting you say that because looking in retrospect, I can think of times in my life where I wasn't feeling good and I just went out and burned it out. Got on a bike, did whatever, and that's just so crazy. So, man, we got to come back to arthritis. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, but you were the whole reason is you were talking about the body's adaptive ability. Yeah, yeah. And you were given that as an explanation for Bob's hip that doesn't look so good. And if I'm interpreting you right, what you're saying is, hey, other parts of the body know what to do. They kick in, they compensate. And so while the bone doesn't look good or whatever, or the joint or whatever the case may be, the body's picking up the slack as a whole. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's probably a pretty good way of saying it. Now, there's caveats to this, okay, right? I'll give you, I will talk about heart, for example.
Okay.
I'll talk about something else. So sometimes people come to me and they have short legs, right? I mean, just, normal. Or they had an injury.
I just have a short body. What is that? Is there a condition name for that? Or
I don't think you can say it on the phone or the whatever we're on here.
Whatever.
So anyway, I was just thinking about a joke my daughter just told me this morning that's not appropriate for podcasting. But here's my point. So some people have a short leg. And Jeff, I mean, I'm not a very smart guy, so I always have to think about this in simple terms. So if I have a short leg, let's just say it's a real short leg. It's a half inch short, okay?
Yeah.
So the way you measure a short leg is if you're standing up. You follow me? Like if I take an X-ray of it, I can see it, bone on. Now, you can have a short leg for a lot of reasons. If you could have a fallen arch on that side, you could have degeneration of the joint, so your knee is shrunk, the space in your knee. Here's my point. So somebody say, well, we should put a lift in that, right? We should raise that up. We should put something in your shoe, or you should build your shoe up, okay? Now, there's a time and a place for that. However, it's far less than people often think. Here's why. For example, if I'm going to put a lift in there, so Jeff, right now we're sitting in chairs.
Mm-hmm.
Is the lift working?
I don't think it's going to make any difference at all.
Right.
All
right.
At this point.
It's in my shoe. I'm not saying. When I come home and I take my shoes off and I'm walking around the house in my flip-flops, or I'm walking around my slippers, or I'm walking around barefoot, is it working?
Nope.
So I'm constantly in and out of this lift now. I've seen it actually cause more problems. Now,
I can see
again,
that.
It's frustrating. Now, if you told me you're a marathoner and you run this way and you stand on your feet all day long, like there's a time and a place. But again, this is where we just use our brains, right? We just talk about it, right? We talk about it. Now, there's some people, so I say that as one example. Now, with heart, as a body is developing heart disease, let's use this as an example, where vessels are becoming occluded, right? Where, the inside's getting filled up like a clogged pipe. It's not simple as that, but use that as an example. Well, if that's happening slowly over time, which is most of the cases, right? Okay. And when I say slowly over time, I'm talking decades, right? It doesn't happen overnight. Now, you finally get so occluded, you might have an event, you follow, but you don't go to 90% blocked overnight. You go to 90% blocked over 20 years, okay? So as the body's occluding that, okay, you have other little vessels, sub-vessels, anastomoses is one of the fancy words, where you have these little ancillary vessels that are part of how, if you ever see like a, think about it, Jeff, you see like a, even a heart, even the images you've seen kind of, you know, just in a book or something like that, you'll see like the big vessel, right? Mm-hmm. Left anterior descending widow maker. Mm-hmm. But then off of that, you'll see these little spider webs.
Yeah, it's the whole branches and all that stuff that kind of come
so
out.
Perfect. Yep. So you hold that image in your head.
Okay.
Because body's smart. As that vessel starts to occlude, the big one, what do you think those little ones do?
I assume get bigger.
Yeah.
It's compensating.
Exactly. It's compensating. So it's still getting everything to the heart.
Yep.
Still getting blood there. Still getting oxygen there. Yep. Now, it's not perfect world, right. You know, sure, right, right? So that slow general process. So a lot of times when I see degeneration in a person's spine, when I see a knee that's degenerating, if it's happened gradually over time, the body has a chance to compensate, to adapt, right?
Right.
Now, versus a broken bone or a sprained ankle, right? You know, that's an acute injury, major swelling, major inflammation. Back to the word arthritis, I started with arthro. Arth is a joint. Mm-hmm. Itis is inflammation, right? So that's a generic term. There can be lots of cases. The reason that we talk about like bony arthritis, you know, is that that increased bone causes more inflammation around that, right? Now, your erosive arthritis or an itis because there's inflammation, but this time it's more eating away the joint, right? Mm-hmm. So again, it can be complicated. It can be complicated as a doctor to kind of know what's going on sometimes, right? Because the mechanical one, the osteoarthritis, that requires oftentimes a more mechanical intervention, right? Mm-hmm. Realigning the spine, you know, postural things like that. The erosive arthritis is, that's more, you know, blood tests and, you know, rheumatoid factors and, you know, AA factors and, you know, all these other, it gets more complicated, but that might require some dietary changes. That might require, you know, all sorts of different things. And so I say this, so, but the typical thing, Jeff, that I see happen, okay, is how people end up approaching arthritis, okay? So maybe that's how we'll end this show, right? Okay. So you got it, let's say, right? You've got it for, and again, who knows why, who knows how, that can be a lot of things. Now, I guess a quick suggestion to those of you that are listening to this, the sooner, at least from a mechanical standpoint, the osteoarthritis is, most osteoarthritis can be dramatically improved and or prevented through, you know, preventive care, chiropractic, you know, body work, you know, things that are, you know, keeping in good posture.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like, don't wait, you follow me? So that's why, you know, we adjust a lot of kiddos and we adjust, you know, a lot of that is preventive work. Thank God. Right. It's, and I people sometimes like, oh, you just, you know, want me to, you know, to keep coming. I always think like, do you take your kid to the dentist? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, okay, you take your 5-year-old to the dentist. They're going to lose all the teeth in their mouth. But you're taking them there.
That's a good way of saying it. Yeah, why do I do that? Because I know it's the right thing to do, right? I still don't want them to deal with their baby teeth and have a bunch of cavities, right?
Sorry. Yeah. I remember this one dentist, my daughter had some challenges early on with her teeth, and I remember talking to the dentist one time, a pediatric dentist, and he was cool, and I said, what would you do? And he said, well, if you would have met me early in practice, I would have said, whatever, we got to get fake teeth, we got to do this. He goes, now? He goes, now, you know, I'm 15 years in, I got 3 kids, you know, whatever. He's like, dude, don't worry about it. He's like, you'll be fine. And like, you know, because a lot of us like, oh, it's going to affect their speech. He's like, no, it won't. Like, they'll adapt, they'll figure it out. And when they come in, they'll be fine. Nice. But again, most people don't get that dentist. Yep. They get the guy that tells them they're a horrible parent. If they don't spend $9,000 putting the teeth in, they're a bad dad. Their kid will never talk and they're going to grow up in the, right?
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So most people, they end up getting an arthritis diagnosis. By the time, sometimes they come to me, they've already had the MRI, they've met with the ortho, they've got 9 shots in their back, they're taking pain pills every day, and then they want me to crack their back and fix them. And I'm always interested in that. I'm like, okay, first of all, do you think, so that's your assessment of that. You've been putting up this for however long, you just saw all the specialists, but you think you're one back crack away from getting this fixed? Like, you're smarter than that. Like, you're actually embarrassing yourself if you're going to talk like that. Like, I'm being genuinely serious, right? Like, I mean, like, come on, back away from what you're saying. You wouldn't say that in any other way to be, I got a cavity. Well, can you just brush it, you know, and fix it? It's like, well, there's a little more going on there. Mm-hmm. Be great if you could. That solution would have worked X amount of time ago. So a lot of the problem that I see, and there was a great book, can't think of his name right now. It's a really long last name. And so we actually just, he went by Dr. Ted, but he was a rheumatologist. He was an arthritis doctor. Mm-hmm. His statement, which I've always appreciated. His statement was, the way we treat arthritis in this country should be considered malpractice.
Really?
Yeah. And he was very, it's not complicated. He'd say, because what is the primary approach to treating arthritis?
Pills and shots, I
pills,
assume.
Right? Yeah. So mask the pain.
Mm-hmm.
That simply does one thing, makes it worse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's, he said, this is craziness. We wouldn't do this if, you know, minus extreme palliative care, Jeff, where, you know, end of life care, things like that, or wild chronic pain. I've taken care of these people. Yep. I'm not, that's not today's conversation, okay? But that's probably not you if you're listening to this. Mm-hmm. So 98% of people, that's not what's going on. It's my knee hurts. I take ibuprofen. That's what I'm doing. And then it gets worse. So then I go in and then they tell me this. And then I get stronger drugs. And then I get a shot. And then I get a surgery.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So what I oftentimes just need to remind people of, and we just kind of talk through it. I'll say to people, sometimes I say, should I get an MRI? I say, well, you can. Of course, it's your body, your health. You can if you want to. I just said, usually the recommendation off of that is, like you said, drugs or shot or surgery. And they say, well, I don't want those things. I say, well, then I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the recommendation that comes off. If you don't want that, don't do that. I often tell people, if you're going to go down the traditional medical approach, just know what they're going to likely offer. And if those aren't things that you want to do or you're going to do, then I wouldn't waste my time, my money, my energy. It's just going to cause more fear. It's going to confuse you. So many people are confused. I meet so many people, they say they're naturally minded, but really they aren't. They just still do. They are in there, I don't know why, until they feel something they don't like, and then they take dope pills, drugs, and then they get all freaked out. They're still looking for diagnoses. They're still looking
for... And I'm guilty of that. We've talked about that too. I mean, I'm still, and I spend time with you all the time talking about this and still coming out of...
Yeah, it's because, what's wrong with me? 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 And I'm going to go Google up 86 different things, and I'm going to try to find a label for it, which does nothing for you. Label you what? Now I got a name for it? Ooh. Feel better? That help? No, it actually makes it worse oftentimes because now you're freaked out, right? Now you got to go see a super specialist that specializes in blue. Let me see if they're on my insurance plan. Let me go, right? And then I'm going to wait 9 months and I'm going to do nothing else. And I'm not going to, because I'm not even going to consider that the body can heal because I'm too freaked out because I read something on WebMD that gave me some label. Now that's my new reality for my life, which crates me up in fear. God messed up at me. I don't know what's wrong with me. God makes junk. It could be nothing to do with my life. So I'm not going to address any of that. I just want to feel better. What should I take? And I go to the aisles at the grocery store and I walk down and says, oh, that says anti- what my symptom is, I'll take some of that. Lo and behold, I take it and I kind of feel better. That must have been the problem. I had a deficiency in that dope. No, you didn't. You're just masking XYZ symptom with XYZ drug and you're no better. Matter of fact, you're worse because not only are you dealing with the problem that you had, now you're dealing with the toxicity of the drug that you're taking. That's not healthcare. Again, I apologize for being so rude. You're not thinking very smart. That's not smart thinking. You don't do that in many other areas of your life. So don't do it with the one thing, one of the things in your life that you would argue is the most important, right? Now, you have to do a brainwashing, you know, meaning you have to clean out some preconceived ideas and fears that have been drummed into you. No doubt about it. But it's worth doing, right? That's why I do this show. Like, I'm not trying to be jerky or cold or mean or grouchy. I'm just saying some of you, if I'm too nice, you'll think you're just... You're going to live a lie to yourself. No, I know. That's nice. I'll just take a little garlic until it really hurts. And then I'm just not going to, okay. Right? And I don't know where that voice came from. But my point is, I've seen too many people live this fluffy little lie.
Yeah.
And then they're living in an illusion. Okay? And you're really still very medically minded. You'll still do whatever the big fancy doctor says because you're scared. And I'm like, that's just not where I live my life. So for those people that are interested and think that, you know, and now that's been a process. Okay, but I'm going to live over here on this extreme. It's not extreme. I don't think it's extreme. I think it's actually a highly, I've come to those conclusions off of significant amount of thought. Okay, this isn't some, you know, little theory that I have lived this life. I've done it for a long time. And by the way, in my world as a chiropractor, this is, and I'm not all chiropractors. So if you're listening to this and you're not this way and you hate me, I understand that. But I would tell you that I'm not a unicorn, okay? Like, there's a lot of people that practice and live this lifestyle, right? So it's a choice that we get to make as free people, right? Now, you know, some people are going to, you know, have a significant problem and you're going to have your what ifs. And I'm comfortable with those what ifs. I'm okay with that because your what ifs, I did, there was just a woman, I just saw this. She was the, she was Miss Brazil or something like this. And she had her tonsils taken out. This is a couple of weeks ago.
Heard about this.
And she died from complications of getting her tonsils taken out. So you can tell me that getting your tonsils taken out is not a big deal. You can tell me that. That's fine. To me, it is. By the way, those tonsils that you take out secrete an anti-cancer chemical that protect you from upper throat cancer. It's not an extra organ that God gave you. You can live without them. It doesn't mean that you didn't need them. I can live without an arm. It doesn't mean I'm not better with two. I can live with one kidney, but it doesn't mean I shouldn't have the other one. You know, I can. You can take out my appendix. That doesn't mean I didn't need one. OK, Okay, the appendix secretes anti-cancer chemicals, reflorates your lower gut flora with proper with the proper biome down there. Mm-hmm. It's important. Just because you can cut it out, you didn't die, doesn't mean that you should. Okay, so but again, these are just these little like weird games we've played in our heads. Like,
But I think that to your point, Ben, part of that retraining, because I remember a long time ago it wasn't a show about it, but you had mentioned something like that point with the gallbladder and what that does. And, you know, I was the same. I have my tonsils and everything, but I was this, you know, okay, I guess you need to get your tonsils out and everything. And now, you know, my default now, because I've spent time with you, I've spent time thinking about this in different ways, which means anybody listening can too. It's might going to take some retraining, but now looks at it with the default approach that says, why on earth would I have that removed? Yeah. Right, it's there for a reason. Yeah. There's got to be another way here. There's something else going on.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, I hope that encourages the audience because some of them are going, Ben, this is too much. Like, you're rocking my world here. I'm like, I'm telling you, average Jeff here telling you, I'm in the same boat. I've been in the same boat, but now the mindset is changing.
And I would say, I would ask, you know, I'm just, I don't know, another, just always because I'm just trying to think, how can I help a person kind of maybe see it from a different perspective? I would say, how's that been working out?
Yeah.
We have the sickest kids we've ever had.
Yep.
Chronic disease like never before. Mm-hmm. More people than ever for a long time, Jeff, we're following more of the medical protocols, get more shots, get more drugs, do the medical interventions. Mm-hmm. And I'm just saying, like, then you should be able to provide me some wild influence on how great we're doing. And I'm just saying, if that's your call to me, I'm wildly not impressed. Mm-hmm. We have 54% chronic disease in this country, Jeff. We have the sickest kids in the industrialized world. I mean, take a look.
And spend what, the most?
We spend the most by far. We take the most drugs than anybody else. We take the most vaccines.
Yeah.
We have the most doctors per capita. We have all the things that you call quote healthcare. If that was the case, we should be thriving. So I'm not impressed.
That's where I get frustrated sometimes, where I'm in awe when you hear the comments made, greatest healthcare system in the world. Mm-hmm. I hear that all the time.
Okay.
And I'm going, I don't see it, Ben. And when you frame it like that, I really don't see it.
Yeah. I mean, so use your brain, not your brain. Use like a thought exercise here.
Right.
So we had in a past guest on four, but so we take, and by the way, if you go back, just go back, you know, 2 decades or something, and we take, and by the way, so we're doing more and more medicine than ever before. Mm-hmm. So let me just, let's think about this. So then do you think, if you're listening to this, do you think the solution will be 10 years from now, more drugs? Like, is that where we're headed? Is that what's going to kick it? Because that's their plan for us, right? More drugs, more tests, more genetic testing, more, you know, more vaccines, more shots. There's 250 vaccines in the pipeline right now that are just in process to be made. Okay. There's going to be COVID shots every year. So I would just challenge you right now. So they've been doing it for however many years. We're getting sicker and sicker. Do you really think they're going to figure this thing out? Do you think we're like but back to our earlier conversation, we were talking about the efficacy of drugs going down over time. Because are you really holding on? The drug that's right now in the market that in 10 years from now, say, oh, that wasn't as good as we thought. Well, we got the new and improved one. If you really think the solution to health is going to be synthetic chemicals made by man injecting into a divine creation, then I'm not your guy. You quit this show a long time ago. I have a wildly different concept of that. Okay. And I'm happy to have that conversation. I'm not, they've been doing it. They've given their shot. Okay. Pun intended. Right. So I would just say, if that's the world you want to go for and you want to live in fear and want to go to find out, you know, if you're just, your life search is finding some, the human, smartest human doctor that you think is going to understand the most complicated design of ever, which is man, the scientists out of Baylor say we know less than 1% of, and you're going to put your faith in those pills, potions, lotions, and diagnosis and labels. If that's how you want to live, I'm not your guy. If you say that doesn't make sense, to your point, what can I do? What can I do instead? Now, listen, both of these perspectives doesn't mean that neither one are some glorious, magical life that you never have an ache or pain, that you never get sick again, that you don't ever die. That's not the point. Mm-hmm. It's a mindset. It's an approach that you're going to take. And I've just seen too many people that live on the medical approach. It doesn't go as they planned. And by the time I meet them, they've gone through hell. They've gone through, you know, bankruptcy or, you know, they're in debt, they're frustrated, they're worse than they were before. Mm-hmm. And I say, man, so I'm trying to wake, rattle people up before that, because in the before, they think I'm crazy, right? Sometimes they think like, you're just don't like doctors. You're just anti, because you're a chiropractor. You weren't smart enough to be a real doctor. So you're just mad at them, or I don't know, whatever. Right. Except that's just not the case. Okay. So what I'm trying to do, and I'm trying to intentionally rattle your brain to get you to think differently. People are like, you're just intense. Why do you yell and scream? Because you're lullabied to sleep by the medical model that you don't even question it. So I'm trying to, like, listen, if it was just a pamphlet I could send home to you, if it was a statistic I could share that you go, oh my gosh, that's crazy. You've been so brainwashed. I've been doing a lot of research, not research. I'm fascinated. It's the last thing I'll say, then we'll shut her down, Jeff. But I've always, for whatever reason, just been fascinated by civil rights and issues like that, right? And obviously I wasn't alive during the classic civil rights era. Obviously, we still have issues regarding race that we are still battling through today and trying to figure out. But I'm reading this book right now. It's about Martin Luther King's first trial. First time he went to trial. It was during the bus boycotts. Just kind of fascinating. But reading the transcripts of the trial and just reading some of the comments that were made by mayors and governors and city councils, you know, it's like wild.
Like blatant open racism.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. Just the language that was used that was like totally considered normal. Mm-hmm. Like they weren't radical what they were saying. Now this is the one I read right now is 1955. So you know this is not 100 zillion years ago, right? This was in Montgomery, Alabama. But like my point in saying that is that you know this because things are said, and just because we live in a time where a lot of people say things like that or talk like that, or why didn't you get the jab, or come on, you're mean because you're not masking, or whatever, it doesn't matter. You know, you're crazy. I want to believe, I don't know, I could have been wrong, because, man, I was, I'll share this last part, and at the risk of it being a little rough, I'm going to read this because I have this in a book. And so the day before the trial started, that this was about the bus boycotts, all right? Martin Luther King was talking to his congregation at the church, and he said this. He said, and this is I'm just reading this right out of the book. It said that in that sermon, he referred to what he called the bus situation. And he related a conversation he had in which a man discussed the peace being destroyed in the community, the destroying of good race relations. I agree, this is Martin's talking, he says, I agree that it is more tension now. But peace is not merely the absence of tension, but the presence of justice. It is true if the Negro accepts his place, accepts exploitation and injustice, there will be peace. If peace means this, I don't want peace. See, when I'm talking about health, and I'm not using that as a metaphor, the thought pattern there, though, is I so appreciate that level of intentional thought to what's really going on here. Healthcare to me, matter of fact, interesting, Jeff, if you look up health by definition, matter of fact, even ironically, by the World Health Organization, they actually say health is not merely the absence of symptoms, but rather, right, wellness of the whole person.
The presence of vitality,
the presence of, you know, all the things that we would call health, right? Sure. So when I think of healthcare to me is not what pill should I take, what latest pharmaceutical concoction should I ingest in my body to cover or mask or, quote, treat a symptom that, by the way, is not caused by a deficiency in that. Mm-hmm. My vision of healthcare is not my vision of healthcare. Mm-hmm. You know, I think anybody that would really look at that, just to steal from Martin Luther King's language there, right? My vision is not just merely the absence of disease, right? But the promotion of health, right? Understanding the interrelationship between lifestyle and between, you know, biomechanics and between mental stress and your relationship with the Lord. Like, there's a lot in that, okay? That's healthcare to me. That's healthcare. Now, that sounds weird to the mechanistic medical model. There's not an appreciation. There may be a tinge of lip service to it, but let's be honest, right? It's all about pills, potions, lotions, and drugs and vaccines. Come on. Don't live in some illusion that it's different than that, right? That's the entire model is on synthetic chemicals being put inside of your body. So if that doesn't make sense to you, so I'm not looking for that. All I'm looking for is, again, what I just said there. So that's what that looks like. Now it takes like a wake up call, right? Like, I have to believe there was people that over time, initially hearing Martin Luther King talking and going, you know, man, that's hard for me to digest. I grew up different. My daddy said something different, you know, right? But then there's just something that wakes up in you that says, that ain't right. That ain't right. That ain't right. I don't need, what's going on here, right? And then when that switch flips a little bit, now it takes time for some of us, like you said, Jeff, right? And for me too, I'm continuing to learn. But there is an epiphany moment oftentimes where you realize, my body's designed to heal. My body's pretty smart. The power that God put in my body, that's not an accident. That's not just, you know, the trillions of chemical reactions that are happening every second of your life to sustain you. That's really complicated. I don't claim to have it figured out. I think nobody should claim to have it figured out. Our job is to honor that, work with it, right? Remove interferences like we've talked about before. That's our best shot.
If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe. And if you want to support the show, give us a 5-star review and share it with your tribe. To learn more about Dr. Ben's work, visit AchieveWellness.clinic.